lots of dreams. Parshas Vayesha, Parshas Mekeis. Someone actually said to me this week, see, it's a good thing to be in bed. I can have Giluyim. That's when the Giluyim happen. But it might be a chilek between Paro's type of dreams and Yosef's types of dream. Paro's dreams were all about Gashmias. Shibonim, the Poros, all had to do with Gashmias. The Beis Halevi points out that Yosef's dreams were a mixture. His dream about the wheat, Igwein Gashmias, the Achad also Kechovim Mishtachim Li, that was Ruchni. So Paro only dreamt about Gashmias, but Yosef dreamt about Gashmias and Ruchnias. And that is the chilek between Paro and Yosef. That's the chilek between Klal Yisrael and the Yevonim. And the Malbim writes, in Yaakov's dream, Sula Mutzav Arza, Arza is Altsius, is Gashmias, Arosha Megimah Hashemayma. The Malbim explains, Kshpoch was showing Yaakov in his dream, even though he's going into Golos, Mokim Choshech, Mokim Resha, he can still be Mitztarev, the Gashmias to the Ruchnis, he can still connect to the Rabbeinu Shleila. Well, this is really the difference between Klal Yisrael Umas Ha'olam. We look at physical life as a means to spiritual life, as a means. We connect Gashmias to Ruchnias. The Yevonim, the Greeks, is all about indulgence, indulging, all about Olam Hazeh. But the Greeks, it was all about Olam Hazeh. Their Ashkafa was, when a person dies, it's game over, that's it. But Klal Yisrael is a hepech. And that's what the Sforim explain. They made a beeline to Metama the Shmanim. We said that a few years ago, a very nice kishmaka understanding what the Yevonim were doing. Why were they so intent on being Metama the Shmanim? What did they gain? What did they want to show with this? We all know the Medrash tells us the Menorah symbolizes Torah. Which part of the Menorah exactly symbolizes Torah? The flame, it's not the Ruchni, but it's very close to Ruchnias. The flame is not something which is governed by the other rules of nature. You light a fire, it spreads. Normally Gashmias doesn't spread on its own. A flame is always pointing upwards. When the Pasuk is Meramez, a moshel for a neshama, use the flame, Ne'er Mitzvah Torah Oyer. Flame is Ruchni. A wick is the lowest form in the physical world. It's a doimen. It's got no life. It's a doimen. Because they're such opposites, the flame cannot coexist with the wick. You put a flame on a wick, it burns up the wick. It can't coexist together. The Ruchnis and Gashmias are adversaries, each vying for control. They can't coexist. Oil enables the wick to coexist with the flame. It connects the wick to the flame. So oil enables the coexistence of Gashmias and Ruchnias. The Torah teaches us how to use Gashmias for Ruchnias. So therefore, the Yevonim, their Ashkafa was, it's all about Olam Hazeh. Olam Hazeh is a means in itself. They didn't believe in Ruchnias. They understood that Klal Yisrael's Hashkafa was completely the opposite. The Gashmias, you have to connect to Ruchnias. It's all about Ruchnias. The Gashmias is there for Ruchnias. They understood in the Menorah, now you want to be a big Chachomim. The Gemara says many times, Shochel, Sabod, Atuna, the elders of Athens, they sent very difficult questions to the elders of Yerushalayim. They were philosophers. They delved into the secrets and mysteries of the Bria. They understood that the oil is what symbolizes Torah. Because the oil connects the gashmis to ruchnius. Through Torah we know how to live our lives, our gashmis to lives for ruchnius. So they went on the tamar the shmanim, because that symbolized a hepech, the opposite of their ashkopas achayim. Yeah, it's good. I want to go to a new point, which was discussed this year by Yaakov when he sent the presents to Esav. He sent them with a message. Vahidi Shovachamo. Yaakov had become a wealthy person during the years he was by Laban, and he was sending Esav a message. Vahidi Shovachamo. Tzoyim v'ebed v'shivcha. Imagine I've become a wealthy man. Why was Yaakov sending such a message to Esav? Gashmius has no chashivas. So what's the message to Esav? Vahili shoy v'chamo. It says, story, Baron Kotler, Zichron Lerocha, he first moved to America, he established a Shiva Lakewood. And when he realized what's going on in America, assimilation and the Chil Shabbos, and he felt that the Rabbonim in New York and other areas could do more in their kehillas to be mechazik Shabbos and limud haTorah, so he called an asifa, and the Rabbonim knew where Baron Kotler was, and they traveled from different parts of America to this asifa, and many of them took with the presents of their kehillah. Official gathering. So Rabbi Kotler got up and he started with very sharp words attacking the Rabbonim and telling them it's not good enough. You just give your sermon once a week. It's not good enough. You just officiate weddings and levayas. You've got to be proactive in making your kehillah bring them close to Yiddishkeit. Shabbos, Kris, and I'll tell you, and he ranted and raved for a long time, and the Rabbonim were attacking spy, they're going to be more active in bringing the killer closer to Yiddishkeit. One of the presidents of one of the big killers from New York was sitting there, and he was sitting next to the administrator of Lakewood Yeshiva. So he asked the administrator, how much is he on? That means in English terms, how much is he earning? So the administrator said he's earning $1,000 a month. Yeah, since it wasn't so private. He's earning $1,000 a month. So the president said, I don't understand. You've got a rabbonim earning $3,000-$4,000 a month. What a chutzpah. How can you speak to such a rabbonim in such sharp language? They're earning much more than him. I said, given a mice about Rabbi Kotler. Verstehst? But this person who was the president, one of the killers, him, the ganze chshivas of a person was how much he's earning, how much his net worth was. That's the chshivas. Then what right if Rabbi Kotler was earning $1,000 a month to speak that to the other rabbonim earning much more? There's a pasuk in Gehenes, Chochma Samiskin, the Chochma of a clever person, Bzuya. It's not listened to. Udor Ve'im Nishmoim, people don't listen to that. They don't listen to the words of a clever person. And what's Taka Pshat? What's Posh Pshat? Why don't people listen to the words of a wise person? The Gemara Shabbos writes, Gemara Dorim, Nevuah is only Shoira, a person can only attain Nevuah only if he's a chacham, a gibor, an osher. He's clever, he's wise, he's strong, physically strong, and very rich. So the Ran asks, okay, I can understand, he's got to be a chacham. To interpret a nevuah, one had to be a chacham. The nevuah wasn't clear, it wasn't per daba boy. A gibor, physically strong, is also important. When he starts telling off people, he might get physically attacked. He's got to be able to defend himself. But why did he have to be an osher? Zok the Ran, it's drush hay. Zokta, because some people won't listen to him unless he's got a lot of money. Position around. The Meila, the Rabbi Shimon made the person who's wrote Nevuah, who's Matsiach in Parnassa, because that way people will listen to him.
Usually
money's
enough.
Us? Usually money's enough. Yeah, he's trying to think money's enough. Yeah. The Rishna Rebbe, the first Rishna Rebbe, Yudua, he lived a very ostentatious lifestyle. He lived in a estate in a very luxurious way. Although they say a story that was true, but it could be true, that when he once finished Kiddush Levana, and he walked away from the place he was standing, they saw blood on the snow, on the ice. They realized, although he had beautiful shoes, there were no soles under the shoes. He didn't want to be nerner from Olam Hazeh, like Rebbe, who said there wasn't nerner with all his wealth from Olam Hazeh, even a pruta. The famous story when the Kotzker came to visit the Rishna, so the Rishna showed him around his estate, and he showed him his white horses that pulled his carriage when he traveled. So the Kotzker said, Hevel Avonim Omakanis. What Hevel Avonim? So the Rishna said, Hevel is Rosh HaTevas Hakol Bora Lechoyvei. So the Rishna goes, what's that Gemshat in the Rishna? So I once said to Bechoshvi, I don't remember who it was, somebody spoke about this, and he said, a Gemalik Gemshat, he showed the claw from different Svarim. The Rishna had tens of thousands of Chassidim. It was one of the biggest Chassidus in those times. He had people who were very wealthy. He understood, in order to speak to them and get them to listen, he's going to display wealth. That's the language they'll listen to. That's the way they'll be machnir themselves.
I'm just thinking of the Prophet's time.
Yeah, richtig. Yeah, yes. It's a different language, the Kosk also was like that. Yeah, it's good. I'm showing you the Ran. The Ran says that person does. Yeah, maybe a different type of following. I'm not sure. Yeah. There's different analogies. Yeah, it's okay, but it's also a good thing. It reminds me of Rabbi Akiva, he said that nicer once. Rabbi Akiva Vilinsky told a story. He wasn't American, he came out of Josh Nashul. He was collecting for his Moises, for his Kailim, he had dozens of Kailim. So, after that evening, one of the big Kvirim and the killer phoned him and asked him if he can come round to the next morning. See, it's unusual. Normally he had to go to them, and he was inviting him to come to him. He's very excited. So he came to this person, probably 40, 50 years ago, maybe more, and he brought him into his dining room. And on the table, there's a bank statement. He said $11 million. Right, even today, it's quite a lot of money, but then it was, go on, sach geld. Interesting, he wanted to show him his bank statement. Then he understood why. The Gvir came in and said to him, I've got one child, a son, and this child met a shiksa in university, and he wants to marry a shiksa. He said, I've tried my best to dissuade him, and I can't manage. I want to make a deal with you. If you dissuade him from marrying a shiksa, I'll give you half my wealth, $5.5 million. $5.5 million. So Rabbi Yaakov said to him, I'm not collecting for myself, I'm collecting for the yeshiva. I said, what are you trying to? And he said, these prutas, and he called the $5.5 million prutas. So the Gvir got a shock. What do you mean prutas? $5.5 million. Prutas? He said, I'm worth $100 million. So I'm going to give to this Gvir. See, Rabbi Akiva said that he saw Taka suddenly, he went onto the Acheretz. He wasn't looked at as a Shulach anymore, he looked up. You know, Rabbi Akiva was maybe 3 or 4 feet tall. He felt like he was 7 feet tall. So the question he asked was, how did you make $100 million? So I made a Poshta Cheshman. If you're prepared to pay $5.5 million that your son should marry a Yid, not a Shiksa, so that's what it's worth. $5.5 million, so I made the cheshbon, I've got 10 children. Each was married to a Yidin. And I've got 10, 15, 18, I've got a cheshbon gemacht. So I made a cheshbon, I'm still worth $100 million. He said, can I borrow your phone quickly? I said, what's happening? I want to tell my wife, I'm much multimillionaires. I didn't realize the cheshivas. Anyhow, as after, when he saw him to the door, I don't know how he managed to help him, I don't know that part, I don't remember. But when he saw him to the door, he saw the door like a mashulach again. He just had a few moments. When he looked at him in awe, he's worth $100 million. When Esav was approaching Yaakov, there was tremendous danger. Esav wanted to kill Yaakov. So Yaakov knew, what language should I speak to Esav? Esav Aliyah, Yaakov won like Gvir, he's worth $100 million. She'll have a different Acheretz. That was much the safety measure. He didn't brag about his wealth. He was very wealthy. In Posuk state, Yaakov said, he wasn't oblivious to his wealth. The Torah made him, Akshmoch made him, he was very wealthy. But he didn't have to brag about it. When he's dealing with Esav, then it's much safe to tell Esav to bring Gvor Nagvir. As it Omdei Acheretz. Or the Meshech Chochma writes, up to himself, that the Noam Melech writes, when a tzaddik speaks, Even he speaks mundane language, he speaks Torah Petalim, but really there's a deeper meaning. He's not wasting his words. In Meshech Chochem it says that Yaakov meant Yidi Shoyer, I can make a mitzvah, but Kiddush Shoyer, Chamoy, Petach Chamoy, Tzoy, Bechoyer, Reish, I guess, Ev, Veshif, Chochem, make them do mitzvahs. About in his mind, he was thinking about Shmuel who blessed him with wealth, that with that wealth he can do gewaltige mitzvahs. But to Esav, the message of Yidi Shoyer, Bechamoy. In the top of state, Mechoyt with Sercha Shoyer Meimecha. Sorry? Yeah, Epash Nesobim. It states in the Pasuk that everybody assembled in front of Moshe, even the woodchoppers and the people that threw water. So Rashi tells us they were going. How did Rashi know they were going? The belt is a vettel, the only people who do such jobs are going. You won't find eat. I was doing such jobs. Oh, but the Maisa have the Gewaldig of Shot. But the Barbossi went to the Gewaldig, went to the Gewaldig of Shot. I remember when I was a bocha traveling in a train from Gates to London before the age of a technology, so he actually spoke to the goyim. It's like quite interesting often. You know, they used to ask you and you used to ask them. It was an interesting opportunity to, you know, broaden your... But I remember always, every single time, they asked me, what are you doing? Then they asked me, what are you studying for? And you could feel they sized you up. If you're going to become a judge, or a brain surgeon, that would give you tremendous chivas in their eyes. A goy normally sizes up a person for what he's doing, what his job is. What is his job? That's the way he's going to be mash of the person. By yid, it's not about what job we do. That's not what's important. That's how we make our panosa. That's not who we are. That's not our chshivas. If the Torah is describing people by what job they did, it can't be yidin. It's got to be goyim. Because we don't describe even what job they do. Then he had it, the Gewaldig Abshat. By Yoina, when they woke him up, the first question they asked him, interesting, Ma Malachtcha, things haven't changed. What do you do? Maybe according to what he said beforehand, if he's a tycoon, they'll treat him differently. They wanted to first size him up, how to deal with him. Right, he was sleeping in the boat, he told them that the size because of him. So first, Ma Malachtcha, let's work out how we're meant to treat you. Although the Mishnah Pirkei Avos says he meant to answer Al Rishon Rishon Al Achron Achron, he didn't bechlal answer the question. What did he say? Ivri Anechem Ayid. So the Kei Shomayim and the Yorei, I fear the Rabbi Nishloilam. He didn't understand the question. It's not important. It's not interesting to know what he does. It's Nishu Tassant. It's Nishu Tassant. That doesn't make the Keshivas of the person. It says a Beisalevi Amuriti Kadiyah Kamposim. By the dream of Yosef, he had the bundles which they were gathering together, and the bundles were mishtachim l'alamosi. They were mishtachim l'alamosi. By the second dream, which we mentioned, was Ruchnius, it says there, v'achloch z'chichovim mishtachim li. They're bound down to me. So the Besalevi, why in the second dream was it Mishtachim Li? In the first dream, it was Mishtachim Lalomasi. What's the effect of Besalevi? Gewaldig Yadir Kimposim. So the Besalevi, because the first dream, as we said before, was Gashmias. And Yosef was showing them that in the future, you're going to come unto me. I'm going to be providing you with Gashmias. And that was Niskayim. When the brothers came down to Mitzrayim to receive food, to be able to remain alive in Eretz Yisrael. So the first dream was discussing the future where Yosef was providing them with Gashmias. As we said, Gashmias is not what gives a person a Chshivas be'etzem. That doesn't give a person a Chshivas. So the Beis Halevi, Gevaldi Yataych, there's Mishtachim Lalomosi. They weren't bound down to me, that gave me no Chshivas. The second dream was a dream about Ruchnius. And Yosef in Mitzrayim, he withstood the temptation and the test, which we cannot imagine how Yosef was able to withstand that test. He had every reason for leaving Yiddishkeit. His brothers hate him, sold as a slave in a pit, and working for Potiphar. He was literally on his own in Tumas Mitzrayim, with a tremendous, tremendous nesoyim. And he kept his sanity. And he was able to be miskabel that nesoyim, and that propelled him to great heights in ruchnias. Tremendous heights. That's why he's called Yosef HaTzadik. He's called Yosef HaTzadik because of that nesoyim. When the Medrash says, because of that nesoyim he brought on Ashpot in Mitzrayim, which enabled Klal Yisrael to withstand the temptations later when they were in Mitzrayim. They didn't assimilate with the goyim, they didn't marry out. So the second dream was the nevuah that he's going to be superior to them in ruchnias. That's why it says the Beis Halei is mishtachlim li. Because that elevated the actual person. The first time is mishtachlim alamosi, the second time is mishtachlim li. Those are the Indian, a bit of Chanukah, the Indian, it's all about Ruchnias, and Gashmis is four Ruchnias. I remind myself of a point, a related point. We said the Yosef to Mitzrayim, so what's Pshat? How was he able to retain his koyach of emunah, his koyach of sanity? How was it possible? I was traveling in Shirut from Shlaim to Mebrak, that's true. And you know, the speed limit then was 90 kilometers. I mean, that's for a few years now because of COVID, but it was 90 kilometers in the Kvish Echad. Maybe it's higher now. He was talking about 130, 140. But someone in the back, who said in broken Ivrit, I insist you travel within the speed limit. It's dangerous, travel within the speed limit. And you know, the driver, like I listened, he started traveling up his 95, 100. Suddenly, after 5 minutes, he slammed the brakes and pulled over to the side. He got out of the van and he opened the door. He said, get out. He told this fellow. Now, I wonder what's going to happen next. The fellow sat there, he's reading a book, he didn't budge. And he screamed, get out, get out. So what happened suddenly? Why suddenly did he get all annoyed? So he said to this fellow, that I was driving 100 kilometers an hour and this bus, Egged bus, full of people flew past me. Yeah? If the bus can go 140, 150, you can't tell me to go 90. That was a story. Anyhow, the fellow didn't budge, and eventually he calmed down, he got back in the van, and then we started flying at very high speeds. I was very, very nervous, especially when we came to the intersection. He whizzed, and then we come to traffic lights. I remember the neighborhood, his traffic's red, and he's not slowing down at all, because he's hoping it'll change the time he gets there. And the last second, he slammed the brakes. I said, next day, eat. He was mostly calm, and I was almost terrified. So I asked Eid how he's so calm, yeah? Okay, the mentality is raised, but the mentality in English. But he said to me, there's a driver. He has to stop by red, not a fly through. What are you so worried about? He's driving. Yosef knew that everything happening to him is a driver. Everything is for the Rabbeinu Shalom. Matzos the Moedi Gavot. He said, Chazal tell us that the Ishmaelim were carrying good smelling spices. Should have a nice, comfortable trip. So everybody asks, well, he goes to think about what the smell in the carriage is like. He's going to slavery, he's tied up. What does he care about? The sweet-smelling spices they were carrying. What's the difference to him? So my song is like a sort of the Moedi Gavot. He was so ruhig and calm. There's a driver. There's a Rabbeinu Shalom. Shmuel's put him in this matzah. That's his matzah now. He was so calm, he enjoyed the smelling spices, the sweet smelling spices. He was calm, he was rig. That is how he was able to retain his sanity throughout the years of Mitzrayim. That's what he was able to discover that Nesoyim. He didn't lose himself. Shmuel was the driver. The driver, nothing to be nervous about, nothing to be afraid. He's on a trip, because Shmuel wants to be in this trip.
I feel the same way sitting next to you.
Yo. So the great big height, the Kuda of the Avonim against Klal Yisrael, but then it was all about Gashmias, they had these big, massive theatres of entertainment, all about entertainment and enjoying Gashmias. But Klal Yisrael, Gashmias is Veruchnias. Gashmias is Veruchnias. And Akshpohu gave a person a drive for Gashmias. But that drive, although it's the same as in an animal, but by a human being, it can be controlled. And the avoid is Taka, the avoid of Chanukah, the avoid of to counteract the Kerch, they wanted to try to influence with their Hashkof as a Chaim, to look at Gashmias as a means to Ruchnias. Friend of the Chanukah.
Go ahead.
Hello. No?